Yo, we're back for Thursday. What's up, great friends? Grande with you guys today, and Lawhead will also be here as well. So let's have a great day because there is plenty to talk about, and we'll also talk to some people as well with more coming up. But let's start off by thanking our sponsors, our wonderful, fantastic sponsors like Gary Cooper. Give him a call, 858-376-1299, MountTrustRealty.com. If you're looking to buy a home, looking to sell a home, there's only one guy to call, and that's Gary. And what I love about the number that we give you, 858-376-1299, is that it's not going to go to some automated message where you're like, oh, hit two, hit three. No, Gary answers the phone. And that's the way it should be, the personal touch. And his expertise in the entire market is bar none the best around. I bought my home with Gary Cooper. He can help you buy a home or sell your home. If you want more information, go to MountTrustRealty.com. Or like we always prefer, and he prefers, give him a call, 858-376-1299. Brought to you by Life Brew. I had a cup of Life Brew this morning, actually. LifeBrew.com with a Y, L-Y-F-E, LifeBrew.com. You can use our promo code KLIFE20 to get 20% off your purchase at Mushroom Life or Life Brew. So go check them out. It is an instant coffee, hot water. Put a little dab of, a scoop, of the coffee into your mug. Twirl it. It's got some other things in it that makes it almost taste like a latte. It's very, very good. Sustained energy, mental focus. It's got all the different types of mushrooms that you could imagine. It is a really, really good product. Whether Brett believes me or not, I promise you it's a very good product. So check out Life Brew at KLIFE20 is our promo code, lifebrew.com. All right. 7 Mile Casino, just minutes south of downtown San Diego. I drove by yesterday, and it's so close to downtown. It's crazy. Like, we say like just like 5 minutes maybe. It's literally right off the 5 freeway. And the great thing about 7 Mile Casino is it's such a clean, smoke-free environment. It's not like one of those ratty, trashy casinos that you walk into and it's all you smell sick. No, it is clean in there. It is nice. And they have all your favorite table games. And my favorite part, too, they got TVs everywhere. So if you're looking to watch a sporting event, that's a great place to go. They have a Sammy's restaurant and bar with a full bar, incredible tap list. 7 Mile Casino, go check it out this weekend. If you don't have any other plans, why not go check out 7 Mile Casino? It is great. 7milecasino.com for more information. Also, we will talk to Corby Craig from BetUS. Final Four is here. And San Diego State's not in it, but that doesn't mean we can't get prepared to make some legal gambling wagers on BetUS. We'll talk to Corby Craig more about that coming up. Blenders, dude, they have come out with a new line of sunglasses today called the Citrus Hype Collection. And they're so Chase Fisher. Like, when you see these sunglasses, you're like, yep, those are so Chase Fisher. Like, they are sick. They got the Buttertron Spark Lime sunglasses, the Meister 2 Spark Lime. Like, they're just, like, so different and so unique. And the cool thing I love about Blenders is that they are so affordable, but the durability and the quality is top notch. They're polarized. I was rocking them yesterday as I climbed Cal's Mountain, and I'll tell you guys what happened yesterday. I was rocking my Red Bulls climbing Cal's Mountain, and you kind of forget you're wearing them. Like I don't know how they do it, but it is such a great product. I love Blenders. I am a Blenders guy forever now. Whether they're here advertising with us or not. I love Blenders. So use our promo code Kaplan and you'll get 20% off your order at blenderseyewear.com. Promo code Kaplan. And finally, Price Picks. We're going to get you ready for the weekend. Let's have some fun together, man. If you guys haven't downloaded the app, download the app at Price Picks on the App Store, whatever App Store you use, and use our promo code GreatFriends. They'll match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. So use the promo code GreatFriends or scan the QR code if you're watching. Download the app. Use promo code GreatFriends. They'll match your first deposit up to $100. We'll talk more about PrizePicks and give you guys some more winners with Jason as we start the show. But I think now it is time to start the show. So let's do it. What's up, everybody? We're back. Sorry about this weird-ass schedule this week, but we're back. Myself, Grande, and Lawhead with you guys here on a Thursday. If you're watching this, listening to this, We sincerely appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube specifically, let me talk to you. Like this thing. Subscribe to this channel. And share it. Why not? Share it to a friend. Help us grow, which we've been growing slowly but progressively. So if you're watching on YouTube right now, hit that subscribe button. We sincerely appreciate you all being here. And I know when Scott's not here, you know, we lose some people. And I get it. It's his freaking show. It's called Captain and Crew. It's not called anybody else's crew. So thank you all for being here. Sincerely appreciate it. Before I introduce Jason and we get started, let me just thank 7 Mile Casino. I actually drove by. I went down to the outlets yesterday before I dropped my wife. I had so much to do yesterday. It was a crazy day. I went down to the outlets with my wife before we went to the airport. And like every time I drive by, it's so close. It's so freaking close to downtown. It's like right there. You can literally miss the exit. And I love that they put a billboard up going north. And they're like, 7 Mile Casino, get off here. You know, so I love that they're now advertising like, dude, it's right here because it's so easy to miss because it's so close to downtown San Diego. But 7 Mile Casino, smoke-free environment, super clean, all your favorite table games, Sammy's Restaurant and Bar, full bar, great tap list, and my favorite, tons of TVs everywhere. So if you want to watch a game, if you want to watch a sporting event, go to 7 Mile Casino, play your favorite table games, have some fun, have some drinks, watch the game. What are you doing this weekend? Go check them out. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. All right. We were off yesterday. I had a crazy day. I think I would have been off if Browner and Scott were here. I just had a crazy day. As soon as the morning finished, it was like boom, boom, boom. I was out the house all day. But let me bring on Jason so I could tell him what I did yesterday. Jason, first of all, thanks again.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, bro.
Hello to all the great friends.
Thanks. Shout out to all the great friends. Absolutely. Jay, before we get into sports, because there's so much that I would love to talk about, missing yesterday gives us a lot more to talk about because I feel, the Padres avoided the sweep. Let's just go through this. The Padres avoided the sweep. Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish, finally, some decent outings, even though one of them didn't win, still finally some decent outings. They have a home opener for the San Francisco Giants tomorrow, so you get to see Bob Melvin again in San Francisco. You got the Oakland A's, dude. I need to talk about this because these dudes are moving to a minor league park. And by all reports, if you thought the Coliseum was bad, just wait for a major league team to show up to this AAA stadium in Sacramento. We'll get into that. We were both wrong about how big the LSU-Iowa basketball game was. It was way bigger than we thought. Like we thought it was big, but it was way bigger than we thought. Not only that, were the TV ratings a monster? Jay, the amount of money brought in legally in the sports books. Crazy. So we'll get into that. Jim Harbaugh had his first press conference as the Chargers go to OTAs. He did his thing. But I got to introduce the great friends to the new Chargers strength and conditioning coach. This guy is a psychopath. He's an absolute psychopath, and we need to play a little bit of that. What else do I have written down today? The Final Four is this week, and I know
Final fours.
Do you think we'll talk about this? Do you think the women's have a chance to outdraw the men's this year? I don't know. I'd have to look up the men's Final Four ratings to see what that's going to look like. But and then a big trade in the NFL, a huge trade in the NFL, and a former Aztec does something incredible last night. And the NFL Network is just chopping heads all of a sudden. Craziness. There's so much to get to. So we will get to it. Before we get to it all, Jay, how you doing today, man?
Good, man. Always fun being in the chair, whether it's the whole crew, part of the crew, just me and you. I'm starting to rhyme a little bit. A lot to talk about. And like you said, we actually kind of prefixed on Monday a little bit about, you know, Darvish and Musgrove and how important those next couple of starts are, win or lose or whatever. So excited. Can't wait to talk about some of the absurdities of this A's situation, and then the Final Four, but just near and dear to my heart. You know, there's I hang a picture with my father and the legendary John Wooden, and then in that corner there's me and my dad at the 2013 final game when Louisville beat Michigan. So yeah, man,
was that a stadium already, or was it still an arena in 2013? The final
that was in the Atlanta Dome. So that was in the dome that the Atlanta Falcons play in.
So it was so already
it is the stadium.
It was already like a stadium.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember when they moved to stadiums for the Final Four instead of basketball arenas. And I don't know when. Do you know when?
You know, I don't. I think they may have flirted with a few back in the day here and there. I want to say the old Pontiac Silverdome may have hosted one sometime in the 90s and so, and then they would get back to arenas and, you know, every once in a while they might dip their toe in one. And then once these major football arenas became so functional, I think that's kind of, they had to have made a commitment. Probably, I'd say probably around that time, 10 to 12 years ago is probably when they started going full bore into these football stadiums that were so modern and so able to be kind of feng shuied in a way to play basketball in.
I love the conversation the first day of, so today, later today, the media availability for Final Four, it'll be like, you know, the sight lines are so different in a stadium. I don't, you know, the offense is going to struggle. And it's like, well, what's Purdue going to do then? Because they're already bad at offense. So it is crazy, though, because I know a year ago, the Aztecs were in the Final Four, and that was my first ever Final Four experience. And it was really cool because you brought up the Atlanta Dome. It's really interesting when you go to Houston for the Final Four because NRG Stadium is literally right next to the old Astrodome that's still there.
Yeah,
and it's still abandoned and I think unused now. I don't even do rodeos there anymore. Like, I'm pretty sure it's just...
They don't do anything there, like monster trucks or rodeos or nothing.
I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I was told by someone there in the phone, like, they don't even use it anymore. But, I mean,
will they ever tear that down, or is that just one of those things like everything's bigger in Texas, so we're just going to leave it up to
people? We're going
to
leave it. Oh, dude, Houston, they got space. Houston's so freaking spread out. They got space, dude. So
they do.
And it's not like they're... City. It's not like the Midway here where they're battling for space, you know, in Houston. They got the space and you know, so I had such a blast. And even though the Aztecs lost in the championship game, and you brought up that picture, I'll never forget the Final Four. So Final Four is always going to have some, I'm gonna have some fond memories, probably because the shot, you know, if Aztecs would have lost to FAU, I would have been so like, screw the Final Four, man. You know, for a while there, it looked bad.
Forever in not just Aztec history, but just in like, you know, the unsung hero, the little guy, the Final Four, it's always going to be somewhere in the annals of history, and it'll always be dropped in a highlight reel. And you know, whether Butler goes on to a long or any type of NBA career, which is up in the air, you know, you never know.
His defense could come back. He could come back to San Diego State.
He could come back to San Diego State. I'm just saying, in the length of his, you know, remember that guy, you know, maybe his defense carries him enough to have enough cups of coffee in the NBA where people remember him a little bit. But that shot will always be, you know, one of those like, who was that guy from San Diego State? That was amazing, you know?
Yep, for sure. But so before we get into details of all that, Jay, can I just tell you a really quick random thing that has been happening to me the last 2 days? So I woke up super early yesterday because I know I have so much to do, and I've been on, you know, I lost all this weight, so I'm trying to keep it off. Mm-hmm. And so I've been woke up to go climb Cowles Mountain I was like, you know, it's super nice out finally. It's not hot. So I was like, you know, let me just go climb this thing. And dude, it rained so much. There is a legitimate like river going down the trails. There's like just water all along the trails, like that's just running down the mountain. In my entire life of San Diego, I've lived here since 2006. I've climbed that mountain, I don't know, 100 times maybe. Never once have I seen any sort of wildlife besides like an occasional mouse.
Right.
You know? Bro, yesterday, I'm coming down the mountain and this lady just stops like in her tracks and goes white. She just goes absolute like, I was like, what? And I was like, she was coming up, I was going down. So we're about to cross paths and she stops. Bro, when I tell you,
Rattler,
the biggest rattlesnake I've ever seen live was right in between us. And both of us were like, we should move, not move. What is the, because if we scare it, will it strike one of us? Or will it, if we leave it alone, will it just walk away? You know, I don't have any experience with rattlesnakes, especially in Cowles Mountain. The last thing I expect to see was a rattlesnake. Unless I'm wrong, I didn't even know they were up there. So We stop, we chill, and the thing just starts rattling, looking at her. And I was like, yeah, take her. Leave me alone.
Was it coiled or was it showing its head?
It was showing its head.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I don't know if that's because it was moving across.
That means it wants to strike. Yeah. Or
it was moving across the trail. It stopped. It pokes its head up. It rattles. And I was like, bro, this is not the way. I ain't trying to get. I'm not trying to get helicoptered off Cal's Mountain right now.
Well, you could. And the thing is if it's a juvenile, the one thing I did learn a little bit about rattlesnakes living out here, my cousins live up in Fallbrook and have a beautiful estate up in the hills there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've seen everything out there on their property. I've seen rattlesnakes. I've seen tarantulas. I've seen scorpions.
Yeah.
No, dude. I mean, I'm not kidding you. Last year,
last
September, my parents were visiting and staying up there in their lush guest house and everything. And they have a nice pool looking over the canyon. So we were just like hanging out there we're just hanging out on the patio, just looking, just by the pool. And all of a sudden, my mom's like, "What is that?" And a freaking tarantula, man, walking across the patio. But it's the juveniles that will kill you. So
I had no idea.
So the juveniles and the bait,
smaller ones.
Yeah, because what they don't know is, as the rattlesnake grows older, from what I understand, it understands that it will strike in defense and only empty a little venom, just a little, because it knows it needs to store venom if it needs to continue to strike and fight. Whereas the juvenile, it will just empty its venom on you. So the juveniles are much more dangerous because when the juvenile feels threatened, it hasn't had the kind of experience or hunt, you know, it doesn't have the nature or instincts to keep, you know, supply for defending itself. So it'll empty its venom on you. And those are the ones that like kill people.
So
who knows if it was a juvenile?
Spoiler alert, I'm still here. So I didn't get bit.
Yeah.
So I thought that would be like the craziest thing, you know, like to me, it was crazy because I've seen snake, you know, I grew up in Ventura County. There's some trails out there up in Ojai that I would go climb. And, you know, one time I saw a double headed snake, which I was like, what? But yeah, dude, I was like that
stuff right there. Isn't
and
it?
Yeah.
Did they talk to you? Did it tell you to eat an apple?
Yeah.
What
the hell? Yeah. And I said, yeah. So, I've seen snakes, but I've never seen a rattlesnake out like that. And I was like, okay, that's the craziest thing that's going to happen today. So once it really slowly takes its time and it gets into, like, at this point, because it was so busy on Cal's yesterday, at this point, there's maybe 30 people waiting for this damn thing to cross. And so thing crosses, and I'm like, all right, let's go. So I start going down, and I'm going down. 2 minutes later, I'm at the switchback point. So I'm like coming back and forth. 2 minutes later, I just see a woman videoing the mountain, and I was like, that can't be another one. There's no way that's another, like, she must be taking a picture of something else, like whatever, a flower or something. It was so green up there. I've never seen Cal's Mountain that green either. She's like, hey, stop, there's a rattlesnake right there. I'm like, a freaking another one? And this one, Jay, was even bigger. This was a big boy.
Big boy.
I put this one on my Instagram story, and dude, it was huge. And this freaking guy, this old dude, maybe in his 50s, not old dude. I take that back. But if you're in your 50s, you're young and beautiful, and I'm not calling you old. This dude in his 50s.
Thank you.
Yes. was like, oh, rattlesnake? Yeah, leave. They won't do anything to you. And he just like runs right by. The snake like reacts like, is this dude about to hit me? And then you just see it poke his head up and rattle as a dude. Wow. I was like, why are you doing this to me and this lady, man? Like, you're leaving us. And this thing just like stared my way, came my way. I start backing up. I was like, I'm not going to get bit by the snake. I'm just not. Or at least I'm not going to try. I start taking my little water backpack off. I was like, if I have to swing at this thing, I will. And it just stopped and it just slithered away. And I was like, dude, what in the F is happening on Cal's Mountain right now? Yeah,
well, it's been a long, cold winter for these snakes, and right. I did read some report where they're going to be more visible. There's going to be a higher birth rate because of that.
Okay,
and because, you know, they've been denned for so much longer, the warm weather hasn't come as quickly, and so they've been denned in this winter for longer, which I guess means that they'll lay more eggs.
Okay, that's scary. So I'm done going to Cow's Mountain then for a while.
Now, did you hear the rattler? How wasn't that thing really loud?
It was really
loud.
Did
you notice it? Because the one thing I didn't notice.
No, if that lady wouldn't have stopped, and if the other lady wasn't taking a picture, I would have totally ran by it.
100%. But you would have eventually heard like it once you got to it. It would have.
I think
been like,
because what? I stopped. I think because I stopped. It was so. You know when you're like I plus I had. Beats,
okay.
Buds
you had beats on. There's other noise. Yeah. There's outside noise. Mm-hmm. See, one thing I noticed when I was this close to one years ago at my cousin's house was, and it was quiet, right? It was just on their property. There was nobody hiking. There was no other really exterior noise. What I was blown away was because I had only seen rattlesnakes on TV, mm-hmm. and you hear the sound of them through the audio of the TV, is how loud that rattle is when it's mm-hmm. in your ear live near you. And that thing is like, it's a hiss that you'll yeah. never, like, it is something
you'll never want to hear it again.
Forget, and you'll never yeah. want to hear again.
Yeah, absolutely. A,
yeah. I mean, it is like, it's like, you know, those sprinklers that go, it's yeah, like yeah. 50 of those with yeah. on a microphone. It's crazy, wow. dude.
Crazy. And this morning, wildlife is following me. This morning I go walk my dog. It's 6:45 in the morning. I walk out my building, and what do I see walk across the gate? Big ass coyote, dude. I'm in the middle of the day. And listen, in North Park, we know that there's a coyote in North Park. I think there's an Instagram account for it. I've seen it once, and it was a big boy, but it was at night, and it was like down an alley somewhere. Today, walk the dog, see the coyote, go across. I was like, what is happening? Okay. So I chill for a second. I don't need my dog to go try and chase this thing or whatever. So I let it walk, and I kind of like peek over the wall, and I'm like, okay, it's walking that way. So I come out, and it stops in front of my neighbor's yard, and it's just posted. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, this thing is looking my way or something. But his head's on a swivel. Head's on a swivel. Head's on. I was like, what's happening? And then it like kind of scurries away. It doesn't run. It just kind of like scurries away. It's like, I'm like, all right, it's gone now. You know, I'll walk the dog like normal. I get to the corner. I look to the right. Dude, there's two coyotes wow. on the corner just like chilling.
Yeah, they're looking for stray dogs and cats.
No. One of them, I think I hit by a car because it was not using its back right leg. And it was a smaller one. And I think the big one was trying to look after it. And you know, they're startled because sure. this thing can barely walk. I mean, it's walking, but it's not using its back right leg. And so I call San Diego Animal Emergency. I was like, yo, I don't know if you guys pick up coyotes, but I think this coyote got hit by a car or something. And there's two of them. And in my neighborhood, everybody walks their dog at 7 a.m. It's packed out here with people with dogs. And we're literally like, there's probably 6-7 of us with dogs at the opposite end of the corner, just like, is that big dog gonna attack our dog because it's protecting its coyote? Or like, so we're all kind of chilling. I was like, you know what, I called animal services and I bounced. My dog pooped. I was like, I'm gonna go inside now. I don't need to be messing yeah. around with two coyotes right
dude
now.
You're like Ace Ventura in the last 48 hours bro. 24 hours bro
24
oh,
hours,
you're from
man.
Ventura that's kind of you're like Ventura. Alex Ventura.
What a great name. What a great
Alex
name.
Ventura.
Alex Ventura. So anyways, just a weird day today, but let's get into the nitty gritty of what we actually plan to talk about. Just a weird morning, a weird afternoon. But yes, all done with that. Jay, you sent me a text yesterday. Hey, Joe did well, which was nice.
Yeah.
I was so it's busy. Well, I missed the entire game, but I did watch the recap. Tell us about what you saw, and then we'll get into details.
Yeah, I was kind of going back and forth watching, you know, my tribe beat up on my record-setting tribe runs-wise. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've scored the most runs in the first six games since the 1976 Big Red Machine Reds, I believe wow. it is. And most hits, base runners. It's our offensive statistics.
Let's have a +28 run right? differential right
it's
now.
It's crazy. Yeah, right? And so anyway, I was going back and forth and just seeing Joe, I was kind of trying to, you know, see as much Padres as I could. And Joe really looked good. He looked efficient with his pitches. He struck out 7 on limited pitches. I don't even think he threw 90 pitches yesterday. Pitched out of jam, especially one in the middle of the order with Arredondo up with guys on base and, you know, only holding a 1-run lead. It wasn't like he was or a 2-run lead. It wasn't like he was, you know, had this big cushion to pitch through. I just thought, you know, especially what we talked about on Monday, after seeing Darvish have a nice start, being able to go long, save some of the bullpen, even though it didn't translate into a win, Musgrove backing that up to close the series and end that losing streak. And what was it, 4 or 5 they had lost? So they needed a win no matter what. I mean, whether Musgrove pitched well or not, but he also, that was a nice way to get it.
He also gave us some nice headlines, and I'll explain when we come back. This is Kaplan and Crew. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Kaplan and Crew with this modified crew, Grande and Lawhead, with you guys here today. And this will be our last show of the week. We'll do a best of tomorrow. Jason's golfing, and you know, it is what it is.
The whole crew will be back. The forecast.
Yeah, I saw the clouds in the forecast again.
Last two times I've tried to go golfing, this will be the third one. I got back. The rain has come, and now it's just
maybe
like
you're the one bringing the rain with your
exactly. Golf. You're bringing the animals. I'm bringing the rain.
Yeah. I'm seeing about 45% chance of rain tomorrow at the moment.
Yeah.
On Friday. All right. Well, good luck to you, man. How about this? Let's give people some winners again. Prize Picks.
Yeah.
Download the app, prizepicks.com, where you can scan that QR code. Here's the deal. When you do that, use our promo code GREATFRIENDS. Use our promo code GREATFRIENDS. Not only do you help us out, but Prize Picks will match your deposit up to $100. PrizePicks.com/GreatFriends. Use the promo code GreatFriends. Jay, are we 2 for 2? I forgot what we gave out the other day. Did Machado do anything on Tuesday?
Machado, I don't think he got those 3 that we needed, but Darvish did get the over 5.5 strikeouts.
Okay, because I think we did 2.5 total bases, runs, RBIs, I believe is what we did for Machado.
I think he was 2.
Yeah.
I think he got a hit and a RBI, maybe, or
it looks like 0-for-4.
He was 0-for-4. So I knew he did.
Nobody did anything that day.
Yeah. So we were 3-for-4 so far.
All right. So today, you can go do baseball, basketball, hockey. You can do women's college basketball as well. There's so much to get into. They have specials where you can combine Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers. For more or less than 16.5 points, you can combine Caitlin Clark and Zach Edey for more than 59.5 points. I kind of like that. But there is so much that you guys can go and do. And today's Thursday, so darts, obviously, duh. So we got a guy here, Jay, and Luke Lidler. He's like the 17-year-old dart phenom. We always bet his more of 180s thrown. Do you know what that means?
I used to play darts a lot. Okay, pretty good. I used to play with some really good players. So in that sense of betting, I don't know what that means. So help me out with that. Because I've heard I don't know what it means either.
I just say more.
Okay.
So because he always seems to win.
Okay. So I wonder if he's playing probably scoring cricket. Is that what he's playing? Do you know what he's playing? So if he's playing scoring cricket, I could definitely see.
You're asking some very, very, very informed questions.
Well, there's cricket is more the, you know, cricket's the most popular game, I guess, among darts. And you can play it without scoring or you can play it with scoring, which means that no scoring cricket is the first to close everything. And then a lot of times the guys will play that in order. You have to close 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15. And then bullseye in order. Or you can play scoring cricket and it's an open board. And then, like, if you have anything on 20 open and I have it closed, I can just keep racking up points. So I can keep hitting 20, 20, 20 until you close it. And then it's no longer available to score. And then I can go all over the board. And then eventually I can start with bullseyes if I want and score on those. So I don't know exactly what kind of, I haven't delved into the pro cricket games or the pro dart game.
Dart game.
But I'm more of a bar dart guy.
Same here.
But I like when I go back home with all my buddies that I still grew up with that are still living in, you know, almost every guy in their man cave now still has an old dartboard, and guys we used to hang out with in the bars in our 20s, we will still get together and we'll throw a little money down and we'll throw darts till 2-3 in the morning sometimes. And I've always loved throwing darts. I used to have a board in my house when I lived back in Ohio and would have dart parties. And I'm telling you, this is 25 years ago. We were throwing down $20 a guy per game. I mean, there was big money on the table.
All right, Otani. All right. All right. All right. Well, this is Prize Picks, where it's totally legal in California. So Jason just gave you a full, beautiful rundown of darts. We just normally say more than 3.5 for Luke Little. Uh-huh. Luke the Nuke is his nickname, by the way. And he's 17 years old.
Luke the Nuke. I love that.
Luke the Nuke. So prizepicks.com/greatfriends. Use that promo code and you will get your first deposit matched up to $100. All right, Jay. So you were talking about just this last segment. We talked about how Joe Musgrove had a good outing. Padres avoided the sweep, beating the Cardinals 3-2. The offense mm-hmm. not there as we'd like it to be. Obviously, on Sunday, we'll skew the numbers a bit. The game 2 against the Dodgers and game 4 against the Giants, those were the two games where, like, the Padres, their numbers look good because of those two games. When you score 15 and you score 15 in two games, your numbers are going to look a little better, but on average, not so fantastic. But
they scored 6 and a loss too, right? I think one game they had some offense, but then they got butchered at the pitching staff.
Here's what I want to talk about first, though. Joe Musgrove. And listen, it's April, so I understand if people think I might be reaching for a story here, but I'm not. Joe Musgrove yesterday had some post-game comments. And to me, Jay, this was a direct call-out of former Padres closer, now Houston Astros closer, Josh Hader, who famously here refused to pitch more
than
3 outs, to the point where he even had a comment last year saying this, saying, quote, when asked about pitching more than 3 outs, he said, quote, it's the situation that we are at. Are we in the playoff race? It has nothing to do with the offseason. It's the now. It's the health. It's making it through the entire season. 162 games, not easy task to do. You see guys work overloads. They get injured. So Josh Hader, fantastic closer, great closer, but very particular. Does not want to come in mid-inning. Does not want to give you more than 3 outs. Will not give you more than 3 outs. But yesterday, Robert Suarez comes in, and he's had 3 appearances. 2 of the 3 have been for more than 3 outs. Yesterday, he needed 5 outs, and he did that. He got you the 5 outs. He got his 3rd save of the season. Here's Joe Musgrove talking about his closer.
Having a closer that you can go out there and rely on for more than just 3 outs is huge to us here. So he's always willing to take the ball, and you know, we're grateful for it.
Yeah, that's a shot to Josh. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It just is.
It's an honest shot.
Yeah.
I mean, from a perspective of a starting pitcher and anybody else on that staff, it's an honest shot to say, look, man, you know, we're in a one-run battle. We need a save. And a guy that's, you know, we got a guy now that we don't have to hope we white-knuckle through a 8th inning and can get him the ball. Because if we can't and it's 3-3 or 4-3 Cardinals, then guess what? Closer's useless in that situation. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a nice little shot across the bow, as they say, but it's also a bit of a message to the more than to Hader, maybe to the rest of the clubhouse to go like, guys, like, you know, we can do this because we've got guys willing to do it as long as we kind of just bring it all together. Right. Like, I'll get you to the 6th or 7th. You guys do what you got to do. And if we need a 4 or 5 out save, Suarez is our guy. We got that guy. We don't have to hope things, you know, get perfect for, you know, the situation at hand. Then be in the 9th inning for, you know, the 3 out save, particularly exactly the way this guy wants it set up for him. So,
right. And I remember last year, and I'll never forget, last year it was a Monday in June or July. I think July. And Hader had pitched on Sunday and Saturday, and that was another one of his rules. He doesn't pitch 3 days in a row. So he only gives you 3 outs. He doesn't want to come in mid-inning, and he doesn't pitch 3 days in a row. And I remember because I was at a Blink-182 concert waiting for Blink-182 to come on, and I'm watching the Padres in San Francisco on a Monday night on my phone as we're waiting for Blink to come out. And it's 4-2, and instead of Hader coming in for a third day in a row, they bring in Luis Garcia, who we all remember Luis Garcia here, and the Giants tie it. They go to extras, and the Giants win in extras on a McCovey bomb by Yastrzemski.
I think I filled in for you. That.
Oh, what did you?
Well, you were where? What?
I was in San Diego.
Right, but I think I filled in for somebody because I think I remember talking about that on the next day.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember, but
I'm just saying.
I do remember.
That situation of you being at a Blink 182 and then that Hader 3 day in a row. I feel like I might have been on the show either that day or the day after talking about that whole situation.
So the Padres, that really kind of turned the season. And I genuinely mean that. As I go back, they went into that game where they were already kind of struggling. They beat the Rays, who were one of the best teams in baseball at the time. And that's what it was. They beat the Rays on Saturday and Sunday. Hader came in and got saved 17 and 18. Then Monday night, refused to come in. And the Padres lost that game, lost Tuesday, lost Wednesday.
That's right.
Destroyed them on Thursday, destroyed them on Friday. And so Hader didn't even pitch for a week after that.
Right.
So he didn't want to come in because he's like, they might need me later. He didn't pitch for a week after that. And the Padres lost, I can count it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 of the last 18 games of the first half of the season.
And it was about 2 or 3 days of Melvin just being totally uncomfortable talking about all that.
Right, absolutely.
And you could just see it. He was wearing it, and it wasn't going away for a few days. That whole, and as those losses mounted up, he was squirming at the press conferences. Yeah. I remember that instance.
They lost 3 of 4 to the Giants. They lost 2 of 3 to the Nationals. And I remember this one. This is when we all thought, oh, man, this season's screwed. They got swept by the Pirates in the Pittsburgh.
Pirates sweep, that's right.
And then they go to Cincinnati and lose 2 of 3. Actually, at the time, the Nationals were awful, too. So you had 3 of the worst teams in baseball, and they go out and win 2 of 9 games after that Josh Hader refusal.
And that was all the water they needed to take. There was that didn't matter how good that September was going to be. That the water
was so far behind in September.
Yeah, that was it.
I mean, going into September, they were 62-73 last year.
Yeah.
62-73. And they ended up going 20-7 in September, which is fantastic. Best team in baseball. But at the time, we were all saying, like, yeah, what does it matter? Like, what does it matter? Like, all these empty stats they're putting up, they're not even going to. So it was just really, really interesting because you're right, Jay. I think it's not only, hey, let me just call out Josh Hader. It's a benefit to the pitching staff to have a closer that is willing to even try it. You know, like, do we have the same confidence that we had in Hader and Suarez? I don't know if we have that yet, but I just think it's a mentality for the starting rotation for the rest of the bullpen that if they get to a situation in the eighth inning where they need somebody to get you more than 3 outs, Robert Suarez has been willing and has been able to do it thus far in his career. This is what he's done this year. Like I said, he's appeared in 3 games. He's pitched 4 innings. He got 5 outs yesterday. He's had 3 saves and an ERA of 2.25. He did give up a home run in that. I don't remember when it was, but he did give up a home run the other day. So it has just been. It's nice to see for the Padres to have Robert Suarez be available to do that. But yeah, Jay, Robert Suarez was also asked about his willingness to do it, and he was just straightforward. He said, it's not easy, but I have my plan of attack. I just focus on that. With an off day tomorrow, I could come in for 4 outs. Thank God it all worked out. So very willing, very able. And I think you're right. The mentality of the rotation and the rest of the bullpen, hey, if we can get to, 23 outs, we can get a guy that come and get the last 4. And yesterday came and get the last 5. It's got to be a boost, like you're not. And for the manager, you're not walking on eggshells with this all-star closer who's going to be a free agent and is looking out for his future. And this guy who's got such particular rules, and I have to go to the media and always answer for him because it's my call at the end of the day to not ask him to do it because that's what he wants. He doesn't want to do it. So the fact that that's kind of another less thing for the Padres to worry about. And by the way, will Robert Suarez come in with four outs to go and blow a save? Yes.
Of course he will.
It will happen. Yeah. It will happen. But I don't think that the Padres are going to ask him to do it every game. It just, if the situation calls for it, it's nice to have someone that's able to do it and willing to do it.
And he's a guy that wasn't brought and bought here like Hader was. Hader was bought and brought. And there was that kind
Suarez
of ego.
Was just bought.
What's that?
Suarez was just brought from Japan.
Right. But he wasn't. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's an ego that goes along with you need me more than I need you. And Suarez is more of a, hey, I need, you know, there's a lot I got to prove. And I want this job. And I want, you know, to be the guy handed the ball. And I want to be the guy that is the closer that gets his team back to a postseason run. And then I can get paid, but I can get paid being a Padre and get paid by the Padres, not brought in and bought in because, you know, the attitude is you need me more than I need you. And I think Hader carried a little bit of that, and that's fine. I mean, and that's fine in a sense where if you got that dog in you, like, but that can be a counterproductive attitude too, when it comes to the things that they, you know, expected from him. And then the expectations he would only fulfill.
Right. It was kind of like, it's been a fresher. And I remember when he did come out, when Suarez did come out, I don't remember what game it was where he did come and get the extra save. It might've been in Korea. It's just like, wow, look, it's not even a story. He's just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's just doing it. And now obviously because Musgrove said what he said, like, yeah, we'll bring it up and we'll talk about it. But the fact that it was just done and there was no hoopla about it, it was just, hey, look, Suarez came in, got the outs, and we won the game. The first time he did it was the big game in Korea where he got the last four outs in the second game when the Padres beat the Dodgers in Korea.
Yeah. And the other nice thing about Musgrove kind of just firing that shot off the bow there a little bit and just kind of like saying it, moving on, is it removes Schilt from having to like deal with it. Like Schilt, I wasn't even here last year. Yeah, I never managed Hader. So Schilt doesn't have to go squirm and talk about it or try to, you know, defend a position or try to, you know, like Melvin had to try to do last year through this whole thing. Every time it came up, every time a new,
and it came up a lot.
Another 3 days came up or another three outs came up. Like, so the nice thing
I do
is,
remember that too. I think it was not, I think we all were fine. Maybe not all, but I think the majority of Padre fans understood like, okay, he's just a three out guy. But it was the third day. It was the middle of the inning. It was the, everything has to be perfect for him to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you compound all that together, the Josh Hader sandwich was not as tasty as it seemed, you know, like it just wasn't good.
And he was making a lot of money.
Yeah. And I think that was also that's another thing. That's the extra. That's the chips on the side. Oh yeah. He's just looking out for his future because he's going to be a free agent next year. And he knows he's not going to be here. Everyone knew that Hader and Snell wouldn't be here once they stayed after the trade deadline, which was a mistake anyways. We knew that they were gone. We knew the Padres couldn't afford them. Then we knew they were going to contract monster salaries elsewhere. So it was all that combined for Josh Hader. They were just like, oh, this guy stinks, man. Even though he's great. It's like, oh man, story here, story there. Just can't get away from it.
It stinks to have him in a way. Mm-hmm. He doesn't stink, but it stinks to
have to deal with him. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Very interesting yesterday as well, Jason. I don't know if you saw this. The Padres, are you familiar? Because, you know, listen, I watch the Padres pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. I keep track with the NL West. I'm sorry I'm not watching Miami Marlins baseball, but are you familiar with the name Luis Arias?
I am. I mean,
I wasn't until last year. Because the dude was flirting with 400 for the first 3 months.
Right. Okay. I'll admit I wasn't until last year. Sure.
Great. But the dude has led the league twice in hitting. He has a career batting average of .324. His worst batting average of his career was in 2021 when he hit .294. Yeah. And dude, the Padres we're trying to get him. He's according to The Athletic and Dennis Lynn. The San Diego Padres showed interest in Arias throughout the offseason and made a strong offer for him during spring training. A Padres source, however, said the team was more focused on Luzardo. As you can tell, they ended up getting Dylan Cease. But, Jason, a left-handed second baseman who leads the league in hitting. This sounds familiar. Remember Adam Frazier?
Yeah.
The Padres traded for him, and they already had a second baseman, but they got the league's best hitter, according to batting average. And then it didn't work out at all. He was terrible here for the rest of that season, and he moved on. But I got to say this, and I know we can talk about it more in the next segment. The Padres are desperate for another left-handed bat, no?
Yeah.
Aren't the Padres just in dire need of another left-handed consistent bat? And when you're talking about Luis Arias, who, like I just told you, in his 5 years of Major League Baseball, his worst batting average is .294. And this year he's not doing well, but no one on the Marlins is doing well. They're terrible. It would be a welcome. I think big welcome. And I know the Athletic,
you've got an infield problem.
Okay. When have we not?
Right.
When have we not? When has AJ Preller ever been like, ooh, we already got a shortstop? You know, like, ooh, we already got a second baseman. They put Adam Frazier in left field, Jason. They put Adam Frazier, a second baseman, in left field. They put Jake Cronenworth, a second baseman, at first. They put Ha-Seong Kim, a shortstop, at second, at third. They put Xander Bogaerts, a shortstop, at second. Let's keep going. You know, Jackson Merrill's a shortstop. He's playing center field. What this team needs, and it might work better once Manny's back on the field because the DH spot might open and they might have more flexibility that way. This team needs a left-handed bat. I'll let you jump into it. I'll let you get the first word on that when we come back. This is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and Jason, our last show of the week. Scott and Browner, everybody's back together on Monday. Scott, I guess, is stuck in Mammoth. I guess the weather's crazy up there and he's trying to get out. But we will all be back together on Monday. We'll talk more about Luis Arias and the Padres, and also we'll be joined by our boy Corby from BetUS coming up next. All right, everybody, welcome back to Kaplan and Crew with just this crew, Grande and Jason, with you guys here. Our last show of the week, we're off on Friday, and Scott and Browner back on Monday. We are brought to you by Mountain Trust Realty. There's only one guy to call if you're looking to buy a home, sell a home, and that's Gary Cooper. Gary Cooper, and what I love about him is when you call 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299, Gary answers the phone. It's awesome. If you want to talk to Gary, he's an expert in anything that you need in the home buying, selling world. MountTrustRealty.com to get more information or just give him a call, which Gary loves, 858-376-1299. Jay, we were just talking about the Padres' interest in last year's batting champion, Luis Arias, and we ran out of time, so I want to let you get in there before Corby Craig from BetUS joins us here. Luis Arias, like I said, career batting average of .325, left-handed hitter, is a second baseman, but like I said, AJ Preller, he don't care. He would just put anybody out in the field. What would you think about the possibility of adding a bat like that to this lineup who, in my opinion, desperate for another left-handed bat?
Yeah, and you know, there's no doubt that they're desperate for another left-handed bat. I guess, and you've made a point before we close the last segment that, you know, they've moved guys all over different positions. I think this guy's a second baseman.
Yeah.
From what I at least understand, right? Mm-hmm. And so somewhere something's got to give in that infield. I don't know where you go with, I mean, is Bogaerts an everyday DH? Is somebody sacrificable? Is it, you know, you move a Cronenworth to make room to move Bogaerts to first so you could, you know, because I mean, you're stuck with Bogaerts.
Yeah.
Contract.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you can put Preller can pull off a miracle somehow. You know, that's etched in stone right there. You know, I mean, he's there for the long haul. So to bring in another guy that you're hoping is coming for the long haul that plays at that same position that you move Bogaerts to, you'd have to kind of consider, well, is Bogaerts, you know, an everyday DH? Is he,
I mean, Arias, first? You look at his fielding, he has played the majority of his life at second. He has played last year. He played 12 thirds, games
right?
At first.
At first, okay.
With the Twins, he played quite a bit at third.
At third,
he also He also played about 30 games in left field, which,
okay,
in my opinion, that's a nice big hole over there.
Sure.
Left field. Yeah.
Sure. Does he have the everyday, you know, ability to play left, the arm, you know, all of that kind of stuff? Because he's not playing third.
Right. He's not going to play third here.
He's not playing third.
Or right now, he might right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, eventually, I think Machado is going to be back on the field. You know, you got, you know, when he's healthy, you got a Gold Glover down there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm talking about when Machado is unavail right now.
Sure. And I mean, you can pond him around a little bit. And I don't know how, you know, how a player like that responds in the batter's box when he's being moved around to a lot of different positions. You don't know that, right? So you're always that you're playing with fire in a way. You know, there are some guys that can do that and still be what they are in the batter's box. Can a batting champion be moved around all different spots on the field? And, you know, in a 7-game span, can he play 3 different positions that week? You know, I don't know how adaptable he is, but you don't want to sacrifice why you're getting him in the batter's box because you're moving him on all different stations. So, cause he's not going to play third when Machado's out on the field and, you're stuck with Bogart. So something's got
to
give.
Right. Something does have to give, but it's the dude can hit, man. Like the dude can hit.
He's young.
He's young. He's 26 years old. He's it's crazy. In 2023, in 147 games played, he struck out 34 times.
That's incredible in today's baseball. I mean, in today's analytics, it's incredible. That's some Tony Gwynn numbers.
Yeah. I mean, dude, in his career, he struck out 170 times. I think Luke Voit struck out 170 times in the 1 year he was here.
I was just going to say, Giancarlo Stanton strikes out that much in a half a season.
Yeah, it's incredible what this guy has been able to do. And, you know, well, I don't know if it'll happen because obviously in the Athletic report, they did say that they were more interested in Lizardo. They were more interested in getting a pitcher. Luis Arraez is controllable through next year. He does make $10.5 million, which would put the Padres about $4.5 million away from that luxury, that dreaded luxury tax threshold that they will not cross. I promise everybody they will not cross that threshold this year. So it'll be interesting if they actually do it because I think they need something. I genuinely think they need something offensively. The pitching staff is set. The pitching staff is what it is this year. I think you have options in the rotation. You have options in the bullpen. Shoot, you even have options as closer if you don't want to roll. If you don't want to roll with Suarez, you can probably throw in Matsui for a game here and there to close out a game. So
maybe even De Los Santos.
Yeah, why not De Los Santos?
I mean, he's got a live arm. I mean, I've always liked what I've seen from him. And, you know, you never know. I mean, that's a different mentality, that closer role, right? You got to have that kind of whatever's between the ears there. It's like that hockey goalie, field goal kicker. Like, it's just a special brain that you have to just be kind of, you know. But they've got options, like you said.
They do have options, and it's going to be, I just think that they're not done. I don't think AJ Preller's in. Whether that done happens in April, I don't know, but I just think that they are going to need to do something. So we'll see if that becomes Luis Arraez because the Marlins are terrible. And
right.
The Marlins have been trading away talent. And if this guy is only controlled through next year, I don't see why hold on to him.
It's going to be interesting to see if Preller is, you know, proactive or reactive in this season because it's proactive is going out and making that change, you know, earlier, May, April, May, getting something that you dig your teeth into and put them on the team. Or is this roster going to survive, stay in a playoff race, get towards the trade deadline, and then be reactive to that? And he's going to like balance the scales of, you know, are we good enough to make that decision now, or should we see how this ship sails? And so that's going to be interesting.
It'll be very interesting. And I don't see Corby on the line yet. So we're going to move on to something while we wait for him. And I think this is just, oh man, dude, when I tell you this guy, listen, we went through it here in San Diego. We are very familiar with every single tactic, every single negotiation, every single PR spin you could think of when you're trying to move a team out of the city that you're currently in. We saw it with the Spanos family. I mean, Mark Fabiani was the master of, I think, what was his nickname? Master of Disaster or something like that. He was legitimately a genius as to spin anything. In Oakland, not so much. John Fisher, the owner of the A's, has done everything he possibly can to crap all over the fan base in Oakland for the Athletics. He has done nothing for the last several years to make you want to be an A's fan. Mm-mm. A, with the product on the field, the payroll is not even close to what a Major League Baseball payroll should be. And I think that's kind of what pissed me off a lot this offseason. Yes, the Dodgers are going to do their thing. In a capless league, you're going to do your thing. You're going to be, if you're financially able to and you have the ownership that wants to, you can go spend $1 billion in the offseason, and it's awesome for you. But all these national talking heads that said it, what the Dodgers did was great for baseball, how can you say that sentence when you have an owner doing what John Fisher has done to the A's? How is that allowed by baseball to spend no money, to do nothing to the stadium, to entice zero fans to show up to a game? John Fisher has done everything absolutely possible to get the A's out of Oakland. Everything he's tried to do in Oakland has been half-hearted. Everything he's tried to do with the city of Oakland to build a stadium, he's not doing crap. The same way that the city council put a little stadium for Dean Spanos on the platter in Mission Valley, he's like, oh, that's nice, but what about downtown? Downtown? What do you mean downtown? Mission Valley, we're here. There's a parking lot. We'll build it right next door. No, we want to go to downtown now. We got to go to downtown. So this owner from the A's is an absolute... And by the way, have you seen what he's done to these players, his best players so far on the team? Sending them down, cutting them. Estery Ruiz, who led the base major league in steals last year. He has literally demoted, benched, traded, or released the A's best players. And, Jay, have you seen this? No, but before I get to this, because that's going to distract me. Here's the story. The A's are moving to Sacramento for the next three seasons. The Oakland A's are moving to Sacramento. They will be playing at a place called Sutter Health Park, which is the home of the Giants AAA affiliate, the Sacramento River Cats. This is a stadium in Sacramento that holds 10,624 seats. And if you include the lawn and standing room, the Oakland A's will max out at 14,000 attendance, which, by the way,
They can't even get that in the Coliseum.
Right. Here is John Fisher, and I'll let Jay go off on this. John Fisher saying, quote, "We explored several locations for a temporary home, including the Oakland Coliseum. Even with a long-standing relationship and good intention on all sides and negotiations with Oakland, the conditions to achieve an agreement seemed out of reach. We understand the disappointment this news brings to our fans as the season marks our final one in Oakland. Throughout this season, we will honor and celebrate our team, our time in Oakland, and we'll share additional details soon."
Gross.
Jason.
Gross.
The A's are moving out of Oakland officially. They're moving to Sacramento. And by the way, they don't even have funding yet for Las Vegas, so they added a fourth year as an option. The A's could be playing at a AAA stadium for the next 4 years.
Gross. And the funny thing is they're going to go play. At the Giants affiliate, right? Their big brother. I mean, right across the bay, the franchise that is functional, the franchise with a beautiful stadium, with a fan base that they reward, and players that they pay and treat like talent, and they're gonna go into their AAA stadium in Sacramento. I mean, how just absolutely ludicrous and pathetic. And you're right. How baseball didn't step in this day and age of all the money that's out on the perimeter of baseball and all the money. This isn't 50, 60, 70 years ago. This isn't the economics of baseball in the, the trying times of economies that, baseball trying to, grow. I mean, this is ridiculous, right? that the fact that the Major League Baseball didn't come in and intervene years ago and say, look, if you can't handle this, we will find someone that will, and we will go and we will do deals with the city of Oakland, and we will make sure that this team stays in the, at least in the Bay Area somewhere. even if we have to move him to Santa Cruz or San Jose or something and build a stadium and get something done so that these Bay Area Oakland fans can at least still have an semblance of, you know, because the A's are a very local brand. They're not, you know, the one thing about the Raiders is in the NFL, you know, grew their brand globally, and the Raiders were already, you know, you can find Raider fans in New England from the time they were just because the silver and black and what, you know, that brand brought. The Raiders moving to Las Vegas isn't as, you know, disturbing because they're so global and so national, whereas the A's are just, they're a neighborhood brand. They're Oakland only. I mean, yeah, they originated in Philly, went to Kansas City, but like, let's call it what it is. You know, their success as a franchise, you know, they're four World Series. Yeah. Three in a row with Reggie and those guys. Mm-hmm. And then the one with Canseco, and then so many of the successes they had right on the doorstep with Giambi and they, you know, they've always put out.
Shoot, they were good with Bob Melvin up until recently.
Yeah, no, they always won ball games in this Moneyball era. You know, this Billy Beane resurrected, you know, them as a small market team after the La Russa run and the Canseco run and everything, where baseball economics got out of hand. They were able to kind of just, you know, kind of sift through it. But they belong in Oakland, or at least nearby. At least Santa Cruz, San Jose, somewhere.
Sacramento's nearby. Not.
But that's it.
It's not.
But okay, but it's not. And this is them just trying to go find an Airbnb right now.
Yeah. So.
Because they're going to Vegas.
It's pretty disgusting. And it brings me back flashbacks, but this dude's just doing
gross.
He's doing it to the max, you know, like this guy's doing it absolutely to the max. Spanos, at the end of the day, he never was like, we're going to LA. And that's it. You know, at the end, like, I'm not giving him any credit, but what Fisher's doing is just blatant and in your face.
And at least when Spanos went to find a temporary home, he did it in basically LA. I mean, yeah, it was a soccer stadium, but at least he didn't try to go, hey, we're going to Bakersfield. Right. Hey, we'll go to you know, Lancaster. Reno. Yeah, we'll go to Reno. We'll go to Palm Springs. I mean, this is a joke.
We're going to go play at UNLV's baseball stadium. No, yeah. He went to LA. And the way the Chargers were ridiculed, the A's will be ridiculed, and the A's have been getting ridiculed. And it's unfortunate too, because, you know, I remember countless interviews with Phillip Rivers, Gates, whoever else was, you know, the players that were here, Weddle. And they're like, dude, it's not up to them. It's not up to us. Mm-mm. And that leads me to the story that I brought up earlier, where I was going to get distracted. Jay, have you heard about this story with the Last Dive Bar?
No, but I love
it. So the Last Dive Bar is the Last Dive Bar is not a bar, but it's a local apparel company. And they've kind of been the face. They've been the face, and they've been big proponents of the sell the team movement in Oakland.
Okay.
So they've been selling a lot of merch that has like sell the team stuff or anti moving to Vegas, obviously.
Okay.
They even made wristbands, Last Dive Bar wristbands. And like players have been seen wearing them. Even the manager of the Oakland A's, Mark Kotze, has been seen wearing one. And turns out, dude, before all this movement stuff, like they actually had a partnership with the A's, and they were selling apparel with the A's. And as soon as they started doing sell the team stuff, the A's acted like they never worked with them, and they gave them a cease and desist. Like, so they partnered together. And then once the sell the team stuff happened, they're like, hey, what are they doing with our logos? We never gave them permission, and gave them a cease and desist. So now players like the guy I brought up, Ester A. Ruiz, who was a Padre at one point, he led the American League in stolen bases last year. He was absolutely their best player for the first series of the season. And Brent Rooker, another guy who was doing pretty well. They've been seen wearing the Last Dive Bar wristbands.
Uh-huh.
And every player been seen wearing one has either been demoted, benched, traded, or released.
How pathetic. How sad. Oh, my God. The A's. This Fisher guy. I mean, I'm looking at their website right now. I love this one. They've got a sweatshirt, a shirt design where Dave Cavall is, he's in quotes, and he's being he's being string puppeted, and he's Pinocchio. His nose is Pinocchio. Great. And the quote is, "We're committed to Oakland, Dave Cavall." And there's fingers on a puppet string, and he's got a Pinocchio nose.
And now they're calling it, quote, or hashtag wristband gate. And now they're totally leaning into it as this story's catching more and more wind.
Oh,
you can
I
go
love
get
this
a
site.
Wristband gate. The truth is out there. The last dive bar.
Oh, so great. They've got great stuff. This is
oh
awesome.
Yeah, everybody, dude, they're a merch company and they do great merch. Like they do great apparel.
I'm glad.
And if you're an Oakland A's fan, dude, this stuff is money. It is money. But ain't it crazy, man? Like you imagine being so freaking petty, and especially like, dude, you're moving to Sacramento, bro. You're going to Sacramento and you're going to play in a stadium with that seats 10,000 and you're not going to get 10,000. You're not going to get 10,000 people. And you know what's crazy? I saw someone that covers the AAA team in Sacramento tweeted out so in this stadium there's no family room, there's no mother's room, there's no shade or bathrooms in the bullpen. There's one batting cage for the entire stadium.
The only time they're going to get
the
people,
the Dodgers are going there.
Yeah. That's the only time they're going to get people. Right. When Dodger and Yankee fans right. and go, people go, dude, we can go see the Yankees in this little ballpark that far up close for this ticket price. And it'll be all the other team. And when they play somebody that doesn't have any type of grip out in that area, you know, when they play Cleveland or Tampa that has no fans in that area, nobody's going to go.
Yeah. I want to talk to the people of Sacramento. Cousin Nancy, listen up. Get your people together, okay? I'm going to bust a Kamala Harris right now. Don't go.
Don't
go.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Go watch the River Cats.
I don't care if they put
go
the tickets
support
on
your
Groupon.
River Cats.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, Sacramento. Don't do it. And trust me, those tickets will not be cheap. Those tickets will not be affordable. Because the A's will pump them up when the Yankees come to town. The A's will pump them up when the Dodgers come to town and the Giants come to town. Sacramento, listen. Don't do it. Don't go. Don't come. Don't. Do not support John Fisher. Do not support the A's. And don't give me this, oh, I support
the
players thing.
They're gonna charge major league parking prices and even probably more because there's going to be limited parking. It's going to be a smaller selection of park. So, yeah, don't do it. Just, I don't care how tempted you are. I don't care how much your kid wants to go see a game. Don't do it.
Yeah. I also want to tell this to MLB players and all MLB players that are going to be free agents listening soon. Don't sign there. Don't do it. Don't take that man's money. And he's not even giving you much money anyways. Like if you're with the A's, you might be desperate for a job. But I said this and I'll say it again. Vegas, don't do it. Don't give them money. Do the Kansas City thing and say, no, I don't care how good the Chiefs are. We're not going to pay for their stadium. And when we come back, Jay, let's talk about that because I've seen it. I've proposed, I've said it on the show, been a proponent. You're a billionaire. Pay for your own damn stadium.
Yep.
Let's talk about that next because the Kansas City Chiefs fans said the same thing. It's Kaplan and crew. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's all good. You know how the show goes. Welcome back, everybody. Kaplan and crew with Lawhead and Grande with our final show of the week. Scott and Brandon will be back on Monday. We were just talking about the Oakland A's announcing that they're officially moving to Sacramento first before they ever move to Las Vegas. And they signed a 3-year deal to play at the AAA affiliate in Sacramento of the San Francisco Giants, the River Cats of Sacramento Stadium. We'll get into that a little bit more because I do find it interesting what Kansas City voters did in Kansas City in regards to the Chiefs. Before we get to that, though, I do want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by BetUS. BetUS, it is now March Mania, people. This weekend, it's the Final Four, and there's only one place to go do your legal wagers, and that's BetUS. Right now, BetUS has a 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. That's right. The industry's craziest 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. They also have 10% gambler's insurance, and BetUS is now accepting crypto. And if you do use crypto, they're offering a massive 200% crypto signup bonus. So it's March Mania. You can't go wrong by going to BetUS with their exciting live in-game betting. So get started by visiting BetUS.com or give them a call 1-800-MYBETUS to learn all about their bonuses and special offers. BetUS, where the game begins. Jason, yesterday it was announced that Kansas City voters have rejected
a
proposal to pay for the Chiefs renovations, or the Chiefs new stadium and the Royals renovations in Kansas City. And you know what's fascinating about this story is that the Chiefs have obviously had incredible on-field success. They have won back-to-back Super Bowls. They've won three Super Bowls in the Mahomes-Andy Reid era. And do you remember when the NFLPA survey came out like 2 or 3 weeks ago? Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs, was rated an F as an owner. There was not a lot of glowing reviews about Clark Hunt, the owner, which can tell you, like, you can win with a bad owner. You can't win with a terrible owner, but you can win with a bad owner. Chiefs are proof of that. But I do find it interesting. Jackson County voters have resoundingly voted against sales tax to extend stadium projects for the Chiefs and Royals. The stadium sales tax would go towards building a new stadium for the Kansas City Royals and renovating Arrowhead for the Kansas City Chiefs. 58% of voters said, we ain't paying for you, dog. No thanks. Yeah. I've always said it. I know Browner doesn't agree with me. Browner just, hey, if you want sports, pay for it. Dude, if you want a stadium, pay for it. And I do think in certain cities like Buffalo, it might mean a lot more to the community than it does elsewhere. You know, Buffalo just paid for the Bills' new stadium, or part of it. I believe in Minnesota, they paid for a lot of it. In Vegas, they obviously paid for the Raiders stadium, a lot of it. And the A's are trying to get money from the Nevada people for the A's stadium. But especially in Vegas, bro, you got all the casinos there. Like, build your own damn stadium, honestly. And in Kansas City, I did find it interesting. I thought the Chiefs might be one of those places where they would agree to it. But, Jay, they ain't paying for it.
Well, if you're a Chiefs fan, you go, this is a great stadium. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Well, why isn't my, you know, the old, you just mentioned, you know, you want football or whatever, you pay for it. Mm-hmm. Browner says that. Well, I am. It's called $350 a ticket price. Right. It's called season tickets. It's called parking. Mm-hmm. It's called concessions. It's called all the gear I buy, all the stuff I get my kid. It's all of that. I am paying for it.
Right.
Right. We are paying for it. And right. You're right.
So if I give you tax money, am I getting free tickets to go to my stadium?
Exactly. Do I get a tax write-off?
Right.
Do I get to write off my tickets and all the gear and all this parking? Do I get to keep all those receipts and write those up off against my taxes because my taxes are already paying for the stadium? It's ludicrous. 8 games a year, 9, maybe a playoff game or two. I mean, if you're lucky, come on, man. Like, flip the bill. You're a billionaire. And it goes back to this. I hope that, you know, this attitude might carry over from this whole controversy that we're dealing with here in California right now, where it's, you know, certain chains have to pay $20 an hour. Well, why are you vilifying? And now, could you see how much a hamburger costs? You see how much a fries cost? And it's the guy it's the guy or the girl that's making $20 an hour. The CEO's making $65 million a year. Mm-hmm. So the CEO is making $65 million a year, and they're spinning the narrative that the problem is that that a worker is maybe making $30,000 now instead of $25,000 or $32,000 or $34,000 instead of $26,000 a year. And so it's like, wait a minute. You know, the CEO has been giving you a terrible product, possibly. You know, that hamburger, you know, you're complaining about a hamburger that it's not even that good. The hamburger stinks. The fries aren't even real food. The Coca-Cola is iced down and it's coming out of a fountain. You're paying $3.75 for that. You were paying. So it's like you were paying $2.75. You didn't have a problem. Now $3.75 for that crap is this big issue. It's the same thing when people are like, you know, that own a Hummer or one of these cars that get
you know, 7 miles to the gallon. It's like, can you believe gas is five? I mean, that's a stupid purchase if gas was a dollar a gallon. That's a dumb buy if gas was a dollar a gallon.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. And then to an extent, but like, I'm glad to vote. I hope more voters start doing this and start going, dude,
me too.
We're sick of this. You're already, you know, you're already fleecing the tax codes. You're already finding every which way as a billionaire not to pay your fair share. You know, buy the stadium, build the stadium, buy the property and build the stadium. And guess what? It ain't gonna hurt you in the long run. Now you can probably, if you don't hit the taxpayer, you can probably increase those, as long as you're winning, increase those ticket prices and those parking prices and those concession prices every single year.
Yeah. I was at the outlets yesterday and I saw Wetzel's Pretzels. It's funny how like they complain about having to pay their employees $20 an hour, but then they're advertising, hey, we're paying $20 an hour. Come work for us. You know, yeah. Come on now.
Right.
Right. But we're also going to charge you.
We still need workers, and right. You know,
but we're also going to charge you an extra 4% on your bill to pay the wages that now we have to pay. But our executives are still going to rake in the millions, anyways. So, just a very fascinating thing.
And the shareholders are getting paid, and you know, we'll find every we'll find every corner to cut. We'll feed you things that aren't even food.
Mm-hmm. Although I do agree with Browner, McDonald's pretty good though.
Whether you like it, then you gotta keep going. Then you gotta pay. You gotta pay what they want you to pay them,
brother. Everything in life is expensive now, man. The other day, dude, I remember used to be able to go to get some chicken breasts for like $5 for a package. Now, good luck, it's like 15 for like a pound of chicken. It is incredible, dude. A carton, not even a gallon. Of oat milk cost me $7. A 12 thing of brown eggs is like $10 now. So if everything is expensive, and it's not, guess what, everybody, it ain't gonna be cheaper ever again.
It's never going down, no matter who nothing's you elect. Nothing ever goes down.
Yeah, yeah. But if you do drive a Hummer and you complain about gas prices, I think Jason just made a good point. You did it to yourself.
At $2 a gallon, guess what? It's still stupid.
It still is very stupid.
Unless you have the type of disposable income that you should keep your mouth shut about.
Right.
If you have that kind of disposable income, if it's $12 a gallon, shut up.
Right. Jay, let's get into something that I found incredibly hilarious, and that is Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh had a first press conference because the Chargers started their off-season program. Jim Harbaugh wants everybody to know that January 1st is not the new year. Don't think about that. January 1st, not the new year. This is the new year.
You know, it's like the start of the new year. Happy New Year. That's where it feels. You know, it's like that that first day of school, family reunion, homecoming. I know those that most people think January 1st, the start of the new year, those that espouse to Christianity, Catholicism, correlated with the birth of Christ. But us in football, today, April 2nd, start of the new year. So just great. Great day. It was just a great day for football, for meetings and training, doing a lot of baseline training.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. I think the more he talks, the more I'm going to be like, is this going to work? Is this going to work with adults again?
Ooh.
You know, this is the kind of thing where, listen, he's a great coach. Don't get me wrong. The Chargers will be better than they were under Brandon Staley. That's not going to be that hard. This is going to work for how long? Because with kids, they don't have a choice. You signed up to go to Michigan. You signed up to go play for Jim Harbaugh. That is your choice. That is you as a kid. You went there. This is what it is. That's the coach. That's the cap. That is the leader of here. Like I can't say anything.
And you're still
making millions and millions of dollars. And A, you either get drafted there, you get traded there. You know, like you gotta buy into the Harbaugh-ness. Like you just have to, because if not, the Harbaugh-ness will be played out pretty fast.
Well, there's a difference between being a great football mind and a great football coach. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt he's a great football mind, which to your point translates in the college level. He's going to be a great coach. Cause what you said, like, look, whether it's 75, 85, 95 kids on a college football roster, they're all glad to be there. They're all happy to be there. And they're still under a certain guidance of their parents. Right. So they see the coach still as a parental figure. But yes, you're right. Now, guess what? Now you're coaching parents. You're coaching millionaire adults who right. have children.
Right.
Now, right. So now you're right. And it's a sleeker roster. It's 48 to 50, whatever it is. And a high number of those guys are high profile, mm-hmm. high salaried. They're not just happy to be there.
Right. Right. You'll have your Khalil Max and Joey Bosa's that will take pay cuts and want to play for Jim Harbaugh, but then you'll have your Keenan Allen that's like, no, I'm out of here.
Exactly. And you're going to have other guys that, you know, you're going to have a whole variety of different personalities, right? Mm-hmm. You had, like you said, there's a different, and now they've gone on to adult life and they're not afraid to be, you know, eccentric. They're not afraid to be different. They're not afraid. Like, this isn't boot camp anymore, which right. college is. Like, but I said,
I will promise you though, like the first OTA, that first training, the first training camp practices, this is going to be marvelous. It's going to be excellent. It's fresh. It's new. It's not Brandon Staley. This is what no we doubt. Came here for. This is horrible. But how long, unless you're winning a lot, how long do you put up with the Harbaughness? In San Francisco, they were winning and winning and winning. And ownership was like, bye. We can't handle you no more.
Right.
Here's Jim Harbaugh. Let's get even weirder, bro. That's
weird.
That wasn't even that weird. Jason, you want to avoid concussions? Yeah. You need to build your neck up, my friend.
The back is just an untapped gold mine of lean muscle mass that and then we want them to know, we're gonna know. And then we call it key performance indicators. You know, what's your external rotation? You know, what's your neck strength? You know, flexion, extension. Do you want a steel rod in your neck, or do you wanna noodle? Piece of advice. I mean, you want that steel rod, a trunk, you know, that goes into the roots go into the traps. And
this guy's starting to make, this guy's starting year. To make, be he's starting to make, year, he's starting to make Biden and Trump sound like they make sense.
Is this guy running for president? What? I mean, this guy's nuts.
Down your chest, your back. The back is an I wonder where he got it from, Jason. Weird. Where do you think he got this this notion that the neck and the back are untapped sources of strength and just being a man?
I can't wait to find out.
He got it from his executive director of player performance, Ben Herbert, who comes from Michigan with him. Take a look at this creep weirdo.
Express this to the guys as well. Big picture, I view training. The interesting thing about training is that I don't know if there's two people that view it the same. There are concepts that different people believe in that may match up, but I view training in this way, and this is how I told it to the guys. My first goal is to make you harder to break. People often may say, training, we're going to break you down and build you up. My goal is not to break you. My goal is to make you harder to break. How are we going to go about doing that? How we train your neck in traps to protect your head, right? The most vulnerable areas of the body, in my opinion, in the game of football, the head, right and left shoulder, right and left hip girdle, right and left hamstring, right and left ankle. So through your training, you have to be proactive at training those areas of the body. So the neck work that I introduced today, the trap work, the four-part cuff sequence to address the four rotator cuff muscles in their shoulder girdle, introduced them to some hip work, introduced them to some ankle work, right? These are things that are paramount. If you want to make a football player harder to break, your training has to be sound. In my opinion, it's all my opinion. Your training has to be sound in those areas.
Why is he talking like a psychopath?
Wow, dude.
Why is he just like... I got that dude is a villain in a movie. That dude is like a cult leader.
Those were two of the most scariest sound bites I've seen a sports anything in a long time. I mean, wow.
This is going to be such a fun year to cover this team because, A, I've never seen a director of player performance have a press conference.
Right.
So please, more Ben Herbert. And
that was
then,
like a Joe Rogan interview.
Oh, it was. It was absolutely straight from a Joe Rogan podcast talking about the importance of trap strength. There was like 6 minutes of that. Then I was like, this is the best press conference I've ever
seen. I'm bewildered right now after what I've just seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that was awesome. I freaking love what's gonna come. Like I said, man. You know what I need to do? You know what I really need to do?
They have to be in the playoffs this year for this nuttiness to work. Like they can't miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is just gonna sound and become more nuttier.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If you're not winning, this is gonna get so old so fast. This whole neck steel rod. Traps, quads, quadrant of your hip flexors connected to your tailbone. Like I'm gonna get your head strong.
You're right. Body. You're right. What did he say? The hip. What did he call it? The hip girdle.
Girdle. Yeah, hey, dude. I cannot wait for a Charger player to get injured and they put Justin Herbert questionable hip girdle.
Right hip girdle. His left one, right. he worked his left one correctly, right. But he didn't listen to the strength and conditioning expert on his right hip girdle.
Right. This guy train Tiger Woods? Because you remember here at Farmers when Tiger pulled out, he was like hurt and he came and tried to play at the Farmers and he said something about his glutes not activating. My glutes didn't activate. That's the same playbook, bro. What is this right girdle hip thing?
Oh man, that was special, dude. That was like a skit.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what the first thing they did, by the way, together, Harbaugh and Herbert? Ben Herbert. They were on their way to the Orange County facility that they're still in. They're not in LA in El Segundo yet. And he goes, you know what? We need to stop at Home Depot. Herbert tells Harbaugh this. This is on Chargers.com. And Herbert tells Harbaugh, we need to stop at Home Depot. Harbaugh's like, oh, yeah, what do we need? He goes, we need to get a shop vac. We need to get a shop vac and some magic erasers. We need to clean the place up because the number one impression I want of my gym is that it's clean. And this is like, this is our sanctuary of weight rooms. I'm telling you, bro, you guys got to go to Chargers.com. I'm dead serious. He needed, you imagine Harbaugh and Ben Herbert pulling up to Home Depot in Orange County or Costa Mesa and buying a shop vac. Because the Chargers don't have a freaking shop. The Chargers don't have their own vacuum.
How about you? You're an NFL franchise. How about you contract a maintenance company, like a janitorial service company to come in there once every 2-3 days, whatever it is, and have them bring the shop back.
You think that psychopath is going to let someone step foot in their gym that he to clean? They're gonna. By the way, he's talking about. Jason, bro. He was talking about how you have to re-rack the rates, the weights to perfection. Like, it's an art of re-racking weight. It's an art of how you're in this gym, and this is our weight room, and there's a meticulous way that it needs to be kept. Yeah, I love Ben Herbert. I want to meet Ben Herbert, and I'm gonna ask the Chargers if we can interview Ben Herbert. Dude. If you're listening on radio, thank y'all. It's been a fun week. It was a weird week. Everybody's back on Monday. And if you're watching on YouTube, we'll do Uncensored coming up. And if you're watching on television, thank you all for tuning in to Kaplan and Crew tonight on Cox Your View. Always appreciate it. Jason Lawhead, @JasonLawhead on social media. Thank you so much for filling in.
At Jason Lawhead Comedy on Instagram.
There you go. Thank y'all. Talk to y'all next week. If you're listening on radio, Uncensored next on YouTube. All right, man. We all done. We are all done for the day. We didn't get to everything, but
no,
we got to the stuff. I had to get Harbaugh's loony
dude. I'm so
strength
glad.
Coach on here, dude.
So much more interesting than even like we were going to maybe talk about the Malachi Flynn thing and right. you know some other stuff.
Oh,
but like,
thanks for reminding me though. Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say like I'm so glad that like we even got the strength and conditioning coach in there. That was just must see TV, radio right. listening. I mean, it's just
so good.
I mean, that I'm going to be thinking Malachi, about that all weekend.
You want me to send it to you? You want to have it on your phone so you can just watch it anytime you want? So you can psycho look at you like it? Like the dude was just like...
He was like... Remember, you ever seen the movie Full Metal Jacket?
Yes.
Remember Absolutely. Vincent D'Onofrio before he mm-hmm. killed him and he was like putting his gun together and he was...
Yeah.
And he had that like... He was like mm-hmm. That's what he reminded me. Because he had the bald head, right? The
champion's
head. Dude, he reminded me of the scene of Full Metal Jacket when he finally... Yeah. I was just like, whoa, dude. Whoa. Yep.
But thank you for reminding me about Malachi Flynn. Not about Malachi dropping 50 last night, but about the new promo code for Tori and California Holistics. We got a new one, which you always need. Write it down. Kaplan Crew. Not Kaplan and Crew. Kaplan Crew. Kaplan Crew.
Nothing.
Kaplan Crew. 20% off your purchase at Tori and California Holistics.
And by the way, those guys are great there. I just, you know, as someone who's not regularly on the show all the time, I want to give a shout out to everybody. They're so helpful. They're so like just attentive and polite and you know, they tell you, you know, they like once they find out your name, they know what you may have bought a few other times. Like, hey man, mm-hmm. I had this one thing one time. Oh yeah. And boom. But within a second, they're on the computer.
And they're never like, in a hurry.
They're never in a hurry. They're never trying to get you out of there. They're never trying to oversell you stuff. Right. They're literally like just advice. They listen. Right. They're great.
What I love about what they do is like they'll put you in the waiting room so they can attend to you personally in the actual bud room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you walk in and it's like a 7-Eleven free for all.
Right.
You know, where it's just like you just grab whatever you need or kind of figure it out or whatever. Like they'll have you wait in the waiting room for a little bit. Like I've never waited longer than like
not long. And like you said, there's a purpose to it. So they can be attentive to the people that are in there. And then when you get in there, the same.
Right. And so like that intimidation factor goes away immediately because I know it's still new. And I know we talk about it because we all have gone and we've all experienced it. But if you haven't yet, truly, honestly, if you're still here watching this and you've never gone and you've wanted to go, I promise you, like the intimidation factor goes out the window the way they do it there. Because you check in and then you literally wait for someone to come help you. And it's like, there's no stupid questions. It's all like a learning experience. I still learn every time I go. I ask a question.
Always.
I ask new questions every time I go. Every time I go, I ask for something new.
Last couple times, I've been into the drinks more, just wanting to know. Because I never buy drinks, right? I would always buy something edible, you know, mostly. And so then I was just kind of like, yeah, what is this? You know, what does this do? Maybe. And then, you know, they tell you, they take you around. And now there's like, sometimes I'll have a little drink and then... The drinks can last because they have like these resealable caps and you can put them on ice with like club soda and then you can have like a cocktail where you're not drinking the whole can or whatever. And I can have it over periods of time. And now I know you just don't drink this like a Red Bull. No. Savor it. Have a little bit, put some club soda on it and, you know.
Trip out on this. You ready?
Yeah.
We had a cocktail night at my house like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And my wife is actually allergic to alcohol.
Really?
Yeah. So the only alcohol that she can drink is gin without having some sort of like, she gets a, like, she's got like a thing, a skin thing. So she just doesn't drink alcohol no more, but she does partake in Tori California Holistic stuff. So we were having a cocktail off. So I follow F1, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis Hamilton released a non-alcoholic tequila.
Really?
And so I went to go get it at Total Wines and it's a great substitute. Like,
does it taste like tequila?
No, really, but it's kind of more agave-ish. It tastes more agave.
Okay.
So it's in that realm. It's a decent substitute, but like my wife isn't opposed to having like some, it's not the buzz that she doesn't like. It's the alcohol that it's the alcohol that just makes her a little woozy, sick.
Does her. Yeah.
Yeah. But she takes gummies and she'll do whatever. So went and I got a little 4-pack of something at Tory. And when drinks called for soda water, I'll put some of the THC drink in there.
Yeah.
With the Lewis Hamilton non-alcoholic.
Oh.
Bit of a head change for it, even though she wasn't drinking alcohol.
And now she's not getting the alcohol effects, but she's getting a buzz and she's having a cocktail.
Right.
That's awesome. And isn't that crazy? Let me ask you something. How did she find out? Like, what was was it just over time?
It was over time. She developed.
Yeah.
She developed something without, because we used to drink all that. We used to, you know, like normal couples or whatever. We would go out and have drinks. Yeah. Have drinks, have people over, have drinks. You know, when me and her met, she was 21. So we'd go out, you know, get fucking hammered, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, I would say probably little after COVID. It was kind of already semi hitting her. And then just like honestly, like 3 times in a row, she would have not even like a lot. She would have maybe max like 3 drinks of some sort. And she would get like just ridiculously bloated. She would feel stuff in her head. She'd turn super, super. And this wasn't like a buzz. Yeah. I'm not describing a buzz. Like I'm saying like a real redness to her. And she went to like multiple doctors and holistic doctors and like, yeah, it's the alcohol. It's the alcohol.
Yeah.
You can develop it all the time.
Yeah. You can develop, you can develop allergies as you get older. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do that. And so even if you're not going to know you're allergic to alcohol when you're 12, right? You're not.
How would you know?
You're not at happy hour. You know?
Right.
So
next week we're going to Texas or we're going to Fredericksburg, like, you know, and one of the days we're going wine tasting and a wine bus. And she's like mad FOMO'd out, right? She's like, what the fuck, man? I want, like, she loved having a wine buzz. Like, it was, she loved it.
Right.
And I was like, dude, just do it. Like, fuck it. It's one day. Right. Like, if you get sick one day, you're not, she doesn't get sick. She just feels weird and gross.
Is Texas legal? Do they have dispensaries?
No.
I don't think they do.
No, that's why I would have taken some. It's illegal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We even trip out. Like, I have, I've had like pretty significant knee pain and I don't have it in front of me, but I have this Dr. May's 50-50 THC CBD lotion that I put on my knee. I was like, I don't even think I could take that. Like, can I get in trouble for that if they catch me with that in Texas?
Ooh, probably. Texas is weird. They think they're like the freest place in the world. And then it's just like, you're not even allowed to be a woman or have marijuana. You know?
But you got your guns.
Yeah, exactly. You could have, you can have a gun, sewn onto your arm, but,
don't you dare have a little weed lotion for your
don't have any weed lotion or don't have a birth control pill on your we'll shoot you with that sewn on arm
guy. You know what's crazy? I just thinking about this now too. We did a beer Friday with a company that does the weed drinks, and Browner ended up buying a bottle. It looked like a tequila bottle, but it was a THC drink, and he said that shit would fuck him up. Like, he would use it like in a cocktail.
Yeah.
And like, he would pour like shots of it in his cocktail. And he said he was fucking to the moon, dude. Like,
dude, the first time I forget which one I bought from Tori. The first time I bought one of those, THC drinks, I drank like the whole can, like in that day. Yeah. Dude, I've never been that spun off of smoking weed all day, bonging hit like as a young dude. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, wait a minute. And so the next time I went in, I was like, well, this one really messed. And I told the guy, he's like, no. That's what I was like. He's like, no, just use them as like little cocktails over ice and then put it back in the fridge. I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, man, no. He's like, yeah, of course you got messed up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you can get lit, dude. You have some fun. I'm trying to find that bottle because it was a gorgeous bottle. I don't even remember what it was called, though.
Yeah, dude.
But it was like
spin you.
He was like, it was expensive and it was worth it, he said. But dude, like, yeah, people have been mixing in cannabis infused stuff instead of alcohol recently. It's like,
I think I'm doing that more. Like I've, you know, I still enjoy a bourbon now and again. I still enjoy a beer, a good beer. Not like I'm not going to go buy a Coors Light or anything. I still enjoy a really good, like, you know, craft beer. I'm, you know, some of the stuff that especially San Diego produces, a lot of the brews. And I'm a red wine guy.
I'm going to North Park Beer Fest tomorrow.
Oh, is that tomorrow?
Yeah.
What time is that?
I don't know.
What time are you going?
I don't know. My buddy just invited me. Well, Jeff, people know Jeff here from Ballast Point.
Well, text me because you know, your wife's out of town. My wife's out of town. I'm taking her to the airport early in the morning before I supposedly go golfing if she's going to Chicago. See some family. So
I'll hit you up. Did I say tomorrow?
Yeah, did you say tomorrow?
What day is tomorrow?
Friday.
Saturday. Sorry.
Hit me up Saturday. Okay. She's gone until Sunday night. So hit me up Saturday. Maybe I'll come out there and meet you for a couple of tasties.
Sick, bro. I'll let you know.
All right. Yeah, let me know.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
And then Saturday's Final Four. So
We
might be able to catch one of the games and have a couple of brews.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Jason, you're the best. I'll talk to everybody next week. Peace.